Good morning. It's great to see so many of you have come out, and all of you that have come out. I shouldn't say so many, but all of you that are here this morning, and a hearty welcome to each and every one that is in our presence here, and those that are possibly listening online, a hearty welcome this wonderful morning that the Lord has granted us. What do? Give God the glory. That's what we're here for. God says, you know, the glory is not mine. Jesus says, the glory that I have, I give to you. And that's what we are here for. May the peace of God and the love of Lord Jesus Christ, the communion of Holy Spirit, be with us here this morning. And not just this morning, but in the life ahead as we continue to breathe our life here. This is my wish and prayer. It's good to see thee. Leading the group to lead in song. They're ready, and I think they're itching to get going here. And I would say this morning, as my text will be out of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, if it wasn't your love for one another and your love for the good Lord, first of all, and then one another and the church, you wouldn't do this so faithfully, taking the time to practice throughout the week. And I think many times we take it for granted, the amount of effort that they put in for taking one day during the week, an evening, and spending a lot of time just practicing, getting ready for Sunday morning. So this morning I want to say thank you for all your effort, and may you continue to find the strength you need to continue to do this. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7, he talks about charity, and charity, a word that refers to his love. And so he says, love suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. That's what love does. Today, as a father, as a mother, but today being Father's Day, do I have that? Do you have that? Do you have that? Do we have that as parents? Do we have that love that Paul talks about? Before I go on this message, let's take time in prayer. Heavenly Father, some of these things that we'll be speaking about today morning will be a question to us. Do I have this? And if I have this, is it evident to my children? Is it evident to my spouse? Is it something that others can see that I have love, that I have the qualities that love has of patience, not bragging, not easily turned to anger, and the list goes on. God, this morning I pray that you would honor the prayers of so many that will have prayed for this message this morning, that you will speak through me as a humble servant, the words that need to be spoken so that we can be edified, that we can be built with your word, and our soul may find its strength in need and renewed in the way it needs to be able to go on to live out this word called love. Thank you. We pray for your blessing. We pray for your presence and your Holy Spirit's guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask you for a few songs, please.
Blue hymnal number 405, Kneel at the Cross. I invite you to stand.
To there. turn not away to life's sparkling cup. Trust only.
Number 337, Lead Me to Calvary.
My life I crown thee now, thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thine unwrought brow, lead me to Calvary. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine.
Number 330, There is Power in the Blood.
Power in the blood, there's power.
Thank you for leading in song this morning. Thank you for joining in and singing this morning. And praises and honor to the Lord. Happy Father's Day, by the way. And today morning, as you may see, I do not look like Pastor Lauren Elias, for those that do know him. And he received a birthday gift. They have their seventh child, a boy. 8 pounds, 8 ounces, if I remember correctly. The name is gone. I can't remember the name. It was Judah, right. Judah was the boy's name. And so they had a boy on his birthday, which was Friday. It was Friday. So yeah, so he asked already ahead of time if I would be so kind to take his place. He wasn't sure if they would also have the baby over the weekend, and he didn't want to take that chance and call me last minute. So I'm here in his place this morning, and my wish and prayers for that family is I told him on his text that they would find the blessings of God to raise another child of God's. And so we as fathers, what is our duty? You know, there's a few Sundays ago I was here and it was Mother's Day, and after I was done preaching that morning, I remembered it was Mother's Day and I forgot. And I felt bad. And one of the ladies of this church, she said to me, she says, "That's okay, don't feel bad about it." She says, "We as women often get praised for all the things that we do on Mother's Day. And when it comes to Father's Day, they get hammered. Oh, you should have done this. You should have done that. Look how you fell short." And I was thinking, okay, how do I do this? How do I speak to us fathers encouraging words not to lift myself up on a pedestal? Not to make myself like, oh, you're a good dad or you're a good grandpa. So how do you do that? That's why I think to realize as mothers, for a pastor to speak on Father's Day about the positive things is tough. It's hard. But then if I would ask possibly some of you as children, ask a question. So what do you have that you would like to say about your dad? Is there something about your dad that you feel you have the best dad? I have a cousin's chat. A group of us cousins have a WhatsApp chat together. And there's numerous times there's times we speak a little bit about our dads that we had. We don't want to boast, as myself and my two brothers, we don't want to boast on there saying, well, we had the best of all the dads. And though we have said in that group, we said, we feel we had the best dad of all those brothers. And then when you get a comment back, let's say, yes, Ken, Cal, and Stan, you had the best of the boys as a dad. And though we knew that our dad fell short, there was things that he could have done differently. But all in all, I knew one thing, and that was my dad. And in spite of those times that he maybe treated us the way he shouldn't have, not in a godly manner way, we knew he loved us. And we knew that inside of his heart, he was sorry. He may not have always said it, but he was sorry. And I still remember the last conversation that I had with him was the day before he died. I talked to him on the phone and how he prayed for us. As children, as family. He had a love. He had a heart that desired his children to be in heaven where he was heading. And I don't know, it was about 2 weeks before he passed away. He was still at home. Maybe it was a little bit longer, but within the last month, as I called to my mom and dad and he answered the phone, we'd had our chat and our conversation, and Dad asked all of a sudden, he says, "Cal, is there anything between me and you that we still need to make right?" And I said, "Dad, no, there's nothing. I've forgiven you." And so that told me again, his heart was a heart of love and forgiveness. So who does that remind me of? Even though a child has gone astray as a father, a child has maybe come up with certain things, and as a father, we're like, no, you right now, you cannot have this. This is just not the right time. But as a child, we're persistent, and we want this. We desire it so strongly. And finally, Dad says, okay. I'll let go. Have you been that child? As a father this morning, how have you treated your dad? How have I treated my dad? As a child this morning, whether boy or girl, how do you treat your dad? How do you treat your parents? I know this is a story that we hear numerous times, but to some of you might not be as familiar, but I think many of us that are older, we hear this numerous times in church. It's out of Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Jesus is giving an example of a man, a father that has two sons. Luke 15 verses 11 and on. The one son, the younger one, he comes to his dad and he says, "Dad, give me my portion of my inheritance." We could say the son says, "I'm done with living at home. I just want to leave. I don't want to live underneath your rules and whatever you want me to do. I'm done. I just want to go. Give me my part and I'm out of here. And I don't have to put problems into your lap and you don't have to tell me what to do." So verse 12, it says, the younger one asked his father for his portion, and his father divided the portion to them. And it says that in verse 13, that it wasn't too long after that, he gathers his stuff together, whatever was his, and he leaves his father's house, and he makes his way out into a far country. And what does he do when he's out there? He's a rich man. He's got all these things inherited that his dad has worked hard for. He wastes it. And verse 13 says that, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. A life that was an I don't care type of life. As a child, is that any desire of ours in our mind that, oh, we cannot wait till we're 16 or 18 and I'm leaving home? And I would love nothing more than if Dad just gave me, you know, $10,000 or whatever, give me a car and I'm out of here. I'm not living underneath Dad's rules in the house. This man goes and he comes to the point, he is so hungry. He's wasted all his inheritance that he had. He now has to go and find a job, which maybe he didn't want to do. He just wanted to live off on the street. I don't know. Doesn't tell us that deeply how deep the things that he had to go through, but it does say that he came to the point of feeding pigs, and he was so hungry that he would have loved nothing more than if somebody would have just offered him the lusk, the outer part of the shell of the feed or the grain that they were feeding the pigs, if he just could have that. And he came to the end. And all of a sudden it came back to him and he thought, wow, you know, back home, I actually had it good back home. He thought of his dad. He thought of his brother, the family. And he says in verse 17, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? Like, what am I thinking? Why should I be hungry? When my dad has a place, a business, whatever it is, or a farm, he has servants working for him. There's enough income there that he can supply food for his servants. And then he's like, okay, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go back. I'm going to go back home. And what am I going to do? I'm going to tell my dad. In verse 18, he says, I'm going to tell my dad. This, he had everything planned. He had figured it out, how he was going to approach his dad. He says, verse 18, I will arise and I will go to my father and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Everything planned out, everything figured out in his mind, how he's going to approach mom and or dad when he gets back. He gets up and he goes back. And lo and behold, his dad is watching. His dad is waiting. He's waiting for the son to come back. And what does his dad do? His dad runs to him. He falls on his son's neck and he kisses him. He's waited for him. The son does not even have a chance to tell his dad what he had prepared in his mind to tell his dad. He didn't even get a chance, according to how it's written up, he doesn't get a chance to tell his dad how he feels before his dad even gives him a hug and a kiss, before his dad approaches him. Maybe his dad and him should have stayed, 10 feet apart, and the son should have first told him how he felt before his dad went up and kissed him and hugged him. But no, his dad ran. He had compassion. He falls on his neck, and he kisses him. And then the son says to him, Father, verse 21, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. What does the father say? Yeah, get out of here. You know what? I've given you all your stuff. Just leave the yard. You're just a nuisance at home. You've always been a tough boy. I've never been able to deal with you. It's not what he says. You know what he says? He tells the servants, hey, you guys, take the best robe and put it on my son and take a ring and put it on his hand and put shoes back on his feet. My son was dead. He's alive again. He was lost and he is found. What does he do? They have a party. They take a calf, a fattened calf. They killed it, and they had a feast. And along comes the older son, disappointed, angry at his own dad. He just, think of it. He just finished dealing with the younger son, having left, come back, is sorry what he's done. And he's excited that the son has come back. And then the older one gives him trouble. And the older one comes and complains that what his dad is doing by putting on this feast. But then his dad says to him, verse 29, it says, and he answered, said to his father, this is the boy, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. Yeah, I guess we could say, Dad, you should have thought of me too. Somewhere along the line, we should have had a feast also. But verse 30 says, but as soon as this thy son who has come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And his father says to him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. It's lost and is found. There's some points I'm going to talk about very quickly here because the time runs away. What are some things that we lack as fathers? Or what are some things that we're good at as fathers? And you as children will know best, or you as our spouse will know. And I think the first one I could touch on, if my wife had a mic this morning, she would say, yes, you need to work on this. And this is one I'd love to skip over and not talk about. But it is the truth. Looking at this father, I see a figure of him being a listener, which I fail. When my child comes to me and tells me something, do I listen? Am I aware of what they want? Or am I like, oh, go ask mom. I don't want to deal with this. Here's a father that has a son come to him in verse 12, and he asks him something. Divide unto me the living. He must have been attentive. He must have been listening and really thinking about what he was doing. Because this was not a small portion to give to the son into his hands and allow him to leave home. Listening is something that seems to be a hard thing to do. In James chapter 1, verse 19, James encourages the people that he wrote to, and he says, James 1, 19, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Doesn't that make you think of this prodigal son's dad? He was swift to hear. He was listening. He wanted to know what his son wanted. He was slow to speak, and he was slow to anger. Why was he not angry with his son? Why did he just give him his part? Why so easy? Proverbs 12, verse 15. Proverbs 12, verse 15, it says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. This young boy was a fool. Things in his own eyes were right by just saying, Dad, give me my inheritance, I'm leaving. But he goes on here, the writer, and he says, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Children, this morning, I want to tell you that I did not always have it all together by listening to my father. There is times that my dad told me things and I thought, what do you know? I'll be home when I get home. So I got home after midnight. And we were to be home before midnight. And along comes the day when you have your own children and you realize how nice it is when your child can be home before midnight and they come home after midnight. What you sow, you will reap. And so I want to say to your children, if you look at your dad and there's something that you see in your dad that maybe you don't appreciate, you wish that was different, boys, this morning, young gentlemen, there's something that you do not appreciate what your dad is doing. Change that. Because what you will sow, you will reap. Scripture talks about that. Proverbs 18, verse 13. Proverbs 18, verse 13. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it is a folly and shame unto him. This father, as his son comes to him, says, "Dad, give me my inheritance." His dad must have been listening. His dad didn't just say, "Oh, go ask mom." Because he wasn't even listening to what she was saying, or he was saying, "Just go ask mom." There's nothing about that here. Fathers, how many times do you and I push those questions of our children to the side or put them on our wife, onto their mother? What else was this father like? This father was a provider. This father had, I understand, he had a farming. He had servants. He provided for other people, for his children. He had an inheritance for this son that wanted to leave. He was a provider. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, he says there, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." An infidel is an unbeliever. So I'll read that again and I'll put the word unbeliever in there. "But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." And an unbeliever has no eternal life in heaven. So as fathers, are we lazy? Or are we willing to work to provide for our family? Especially if we have the health to do it. I can understand when there's some that just don't have the health, they can't work. I understand that. But if we have the health, we are to provide for home. This was a father that provided for his family. What else did he do? This father trusted. Trusted in whom? Trusted in God. Not in his son, but he trusted in God. Proverbs 3, verse 4, 5 and 6 is very familiar verses. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he will direct thy paths." I wonder how much time this dad, I know it's a parable, but if we really take that in reality, how much time this father will have taken to pray for this son. Possibly morning, noon, and night, like Daniel would do, or Daniel did. This father was one, I believe, trusted in God. Trusted when he prayed. And having talked about praying, what is prayer? What is prayer? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." I wonder how this man prayed. Was he anxious? Would this man have been worrying as he was praying? Or did he pray and put it into God's hands, trusting that God would take care of his son? Jesus is in the garden. And Jesus has taken his disciples with him, a certain amount. They came with him. And he went out and he said, "You know, I want you guys to stay here and I want you to stay awake and I want you to pray." And he went a little further and he got down on his knees and he prayed. And when he comes back, he asks those few disciples, he says, "Could you not watch and pray with me for 1 hour?" How much time, as I said, would this man have prayed for his son? Was this man watching and praying? I believe he was watching. He was waiting for this son to come back. And I believe he was praying for his son. Because he noticed his son coming. He sees him coming. And he runs to him. He doesn't wait till he's in the home. Right in his house. It tells us in Luke 15, verse 20. When he saw him, this father had compassion on his son. And he runs to him and he falls on his neck and he kisses his son. He watched, he prayed, and he had compassion. Psalm 103, verse 13. Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. We are to be an example as fathers, as God is to us as children. That's how we are to be example to our children. We have compassion as our Father. And then to go back, what is love? What is in love? Forgiveness. This father had a heart of forgiveness for his son, which is the same involved in the word love. And so let's go back in closing. And let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 7. Love suffereth long. This father had it hard, I bet. I believe he did. Love suffereth long. Love is kind. It doesn't tell us that he gave his son a lot of harsh words at all. But love is kind. Love envieth not. It's not jealous. Love does not boast or brag. He did not tell his son, well, look what I all did in my life. How come you have to be like this? He didn't boast or brag about himself. He was not puffed up. He was not proud of who he was compared to who his son was. Verse 5 says that love does not behave itself unseemly. This father had a love that behaved itself properly. It was not seeking his own as I want this, I worked for this, I'm going to keep this money, I'm not going to give it to my son. But he was willing to give his money. He did not seek his own. He was not easily put to anger. This is what my son wants. I'm going to give him his part. I'm going to let him go. Thinketh no evil. What is he in his thought thinking, oh, and if only this would happen to him or that would happen to him? It doesn't tell us that. But I trust that he would have prayed for him. Goes on, verse 6 and 7. Love rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. It beareth all things. It believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. This man was hoping for his son's return. And he must have been watching because he saw him coming. Fathers, this morning, is there anything that we can do to improve ourselves? Is there anything here that we are gifted with? Let's keep growing in that. But anything that we need to improve, let's work on that. And I know for myself, I can say the number one was, the top of the list was listener. I struggle with that. And so if you have a heart to pray for me sometime, pray that I have more time to listen to my family when they speak to me. So in closing, I want to say thank you for listening this morning and being here and being a blessing to each other. Thank you, fathers. And I pray that you would find that your heart this morning will have been filled with the Spirit of God and encouragement of his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and we thank you for this morning. We pray, Lord, that you'd multiply the words to our soul. And Lord, that we find ourselves as fathers to be gifted with the gift of love. And all the things that love pertain. Thank you. And we pray that you would just help us with that. Thank you, Lord, for being here. And we just honor, give this all to you and your honor and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. This time I'll ask Jake, you have some announcements, please.
Good morning. I have a few announcements here. Number one is the DVBS are looking still for more teachers, so more teachers, especially for craft. I understand if you could sign up for that. and even maybe a few more for lesson teachers. So if you feel led, just you can sign up in the back there. There's sheets on the bulletin board to sign up, or contact Ruben and Eva, or Albert and his wife. They will let you know which classes you can take or what were there where you are needed. And the other thing is, communion is this coming week. On June 22nd is the English, and on 23rd is the German. So you're all invited for that. Thank you, and may God bless you.
Thank you. And may the Lord put it on your heart to have a desire to come and to come to communion and fellowship together with Christ in communion. So this morning, I thank you each one for coming this morning. And fathers, let's try our best to be a blessing to our children. And as children, be patient with us. And understand that many of us always have room for improvement. We understand that, but we need your prayers too as children, as fathers. And so I want to close with the benediction this morning that we find in Jude, the last two verses. And so would you bow with me in benediction. Now unto him that is able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. You may go, but go in the peace of the Lord. Thank you for coming.